If you love the History Extra podcast, make sure you follow us to keep up to date and get all the latest episodes. Thanks for your support, and I do hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the History Extra podcast. Fascinating historical conversations from the makers of BBC History Magazine. Were highwaymen really as dashing and gentlemanly as the stories would have it? How did they pick the best locations to rob from the rich? And how much of the legend surrounding Dick Turpin is actually true? With the recent release of Disney Plus's Renegade Nell, bringing highway robbers back to our screens, Bob Shoemaker answers listener questions on these historical bandits and reveals the truth behind their glamorous reputations. He spoke to Lauren Good.
Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for joining me on this Everything You Wanted to Know episode. Today, we're talking about highwaymen. Firstly, what time period are we referring to with this subject?
Well, highwaymen have existed as long as there have been roads and people traveling on the roads with valuables worth stealing. So they have a very long history.
And Ron Porches asks, surely there were robbers along roads going back far in time. How did highwaymen actually emerge as something distinct?
Well, they emerged when they acquired a distinctive reputation, and that's in the Middle Ages initially. A sort of cult of the robber emerged, in which the highway robber was seen as courageous and daring and manly and embodying the kind of medieval values of an aristocratic age.
How did highwaymen acquire this reputation?
Well, initially, they were written about mostly in fiction, really. But in the Middle Ages, in manuscript documents, which would describe and to some extent celebrate their activities. With the advent of print in the 16th century, they were written about much more widely, or those stories were circulated much more widely in various forms of printed literature. And as print culture expanded considerably, the reputation of the highwaymen did so as well. But I think what's really interesting is that highwaymen began to participate in their own self-promotion. They actually realized that their reputations will be enhanced and their chances of avoiding punishment were enhanced if they could have good stories about them told. So they would work with people who wanted to write their biographies, or they would sit, in the 18th century, they would sit to have their portraits done so that those positive images of them would be circulating.
That's really interesting. So how did this literature actually depict highwaymen?
Well, the ideal highwayman, certainly in the 18th century, was a gentleman or had genteel behaviors. He was polite, chivalrous. He robbed without any actual violence. He may have threatened violence, but he wouldn't commit it. He would stop a coach. He would hold a pistol to it with one hand, but with the other hand, offer his hand to let the ladies step out of the coach onto the ground, and they could surrender their valuables. And he was always apologetic. I'm very sorry I have to do this, but it's necessity that requires me to do it. And he left them a bit of money so that they could continue their journey without difficulty.
Do you think literature actually made being a highwayman more popular?
It enhanced their reputation, absolutely. But it should be said that not all forms of literature did that. I mean, there were also tracts which complained about the increase in highwaymen and the increase in robbers. So representations of highwaymen were varied. But I think the surprising thing is how many positive representations existed.
And we did have a lot of questions asking how highwaymen did develop such a glamorous and romantic reputation. Were there any factors apart from literature in this?
Their whole aim was to present themselves as above the common criminal. They were not an ordinary, low and degraded criminal. They were actually genteel. They came from respectable backgrounds. It was just unfortunate. They'd fallen on hard times and they needed to support themselves. And as a gentleman, you wouldn't work for a living. That's not what gentlemen do. So instead, they would rob for a living.
And Isabella Turner asks, were these highwaymen really as criminal as the history books say?
Well, yes, robbery is a crime. It involves violence, or at least the threat of violence. It involves the theft often of rather valuable items. So yes, it was a crime. And to many of its victims, it was a serious crime.
You've spoken about serious crime there. We've got another question from Jane Alars asking, what was the actual danger to victims other than losing property?
Well, there's always a chance of injury or even death. The kind of ritual of the highway robbery involves everyone kind of playing their part. But if you offered any resistance or if the highwayman detected any resistance, he could get violent. And if he thought you'd hidden your valuables so that you weren't handing over everything you had, he would threaten or torture you to get those valuables. And in cases where the highwayman thought he was in danger of being captured or arrest, he would murder in order to save his skin. So, yeah, there were some, although most victims will have come out fine, there were certainly dangers inherent in the whole ritual.
And do we have any idea of how many cases of violence or murder there were due to highwaymen's activity?
You couldn't put a number on it. It's a minority of cases, but they did happen.
Max H.F. Quigley asks, by what means did people actually protect themselves from highwaymen?
Well, the best way to protect yourself was to think carefully about your journey and to plan your journey so that it happens in the day, it happens on well-traveled roads, and to travel in groups so that you had more protection. The other thing you can do, but as I've already suggested, this could be dangerous, you can hide your valuables, but best not to hide all of them because the coachman will know you have some valuables. And if you don't provide anything to him, he will threaten and torture to get them. But perhaps you could hide some of your valuables and he wouldn't know that you had done that.
And Nicholas Surge has asked, what legislation or policing measures were passed in response to highwaymen?
In the Middle Ages, highway robbery was made a capital offense, punishable by death, and that remained the case all the way up until the 19th century. But that didn't result in enough prosecutions. And so from the late 17th century, from the 1690s, the Crown started offering rewards for the prosecution of highwaymen. If you could report someone and bring them to trial and convict them, then you could get a £40 reward. £40 at that time was worth maybe thousands of pounds in today's money, although I should say these rewards were often divided between a number of different people. But that didn't work either. And so in 1720, for the London area, they added £100 to the reward. So now it was £140 to convict a highway robber. But that caused its own problems because lots of people were falsely prosecuted in order to profit from the considerable money on offer. Efforts to improve policing in order to prevent highway robbery don't come in until the 1750s when mounted patrols were introduced on the roads around London. That's one of the earliest examples of innovations in policing in this country in order to prevent crime. So it shows you how seriously highway robbery was taken.
Do we have any idea of how many of these cases were actually taken to court?
Oh, yeah. There are hundreds of highway robbery cases. If you go to the Old Bailey Proceedings, which is available online, you can search for all the highway robbery cases very easily, and you will see just how many there were.
And how did the economic climate actually affect the prevalence of highwaymen? Were they more active when the economy was tanking, for instance?
Well, that's likely. It's likely, despite all the kind of self-justifying claims of highwaymen, that they were actually often rather poor and robbed from economic necessity. So that's likely, but it's impossible to prove that point because we really don't know how many crimes occurred throughout the early modern period because so many crimes were not prosecuted. So you can't really do a statistical analysis and say during times of hardship, there are more highway robbers. But it's likely.
So would it be fair to say that highwaymen came from different types of backgrounds? You've spoken about the gentleman who perhaps was from a richer background and didn't want to work. And then you've just talked about there people from poorer backgrounds, perhaps who did it out of necessity. Is it fair to say there was that sort of split?
I think the gentlemen were often exaggerating their status. The typical highway robber was maybe a skilled craftsman or tradesman, such as butchers. And then there were other people who were sort of on the margins of gentility, people who would like to be gentlemen and could try to play the part, but they weren't really gentlemen themselves. There is a kind of minimum level of wealth and status you needed to become a highwayman because you needed to have access to and to know how to use a pistol, and you needed to be able to hire a horse. So this is not a crime for the poor, really. But at this time period, people could fall on economic hardship throughout society because of the precarious nature of the economy.
It's really interesting you said there about perhaps playing up your gentility. How would people do this?
One thing that facilitated the rise of the highway robber or the genteel highway robber was the changing definitions of gentility, what it means to be a gentleman. In the Middle Ages and in early modern period, it really required access to land. You had to be a proper landowner or potentially be some kind of professional like a doctor. But definitions of gentility became looser in the 18th century. People increasingly claimed to be gentlemen who lived the lifestyle of a gentleman. So if you dressed appropriately and you frequented the balls and the clubs and the social activities of that class of people, you could claim yourself to be a gentleman, and people would, they may or may not have respected that, but many people succeeded in that.
So it was all about appearances.
Well, yeah, to some extent, absolutely.
And we've got a question from Ailsa23 asking, how did these people actually pick the locations?
Well, it's fairly straightforward. You obviously need a well-traveled road, usually one that's going in or out of a major city like London. It has to be traveled by wealthy people. So if you're going roads in and out of London, maybe ones coming in and out of the West End would be your best choice. But then you have to find locations that actually offer some hiding, some privacy. Locations maybe in a dale or in a forested area where you could hide out of sight until the time for robbery came. But equally that you could conduct the robbery, taking maybe a little bit of time to do it without being detected. So if you're going to have this kind of polite ritual of helping people out of the coach and, you know, relieving them of their valuables, it's going to take a bit of time. And so you need enough privacy to be able to do that. The contrast was often made with street robbers. And street robbers had the reputation, and in fact, often were very violent. Because if you think about it, you only have seconds, really, to carry out a robbery in an urban context where there's so many witnesses around and you need to act fast.
Were these locations that did offer, you know, as you said, privacy and darkness ever shared between different groups of highwaymen?
That's a good question. It's likely, but we don't know that. I mean, if you think about early modern prisons, so highwaymen would have found themselves in prison every now and then, accused, if not for punishment, and they would have shared their information in those contexts. But most highwaymen operated on their own or in a concert with maybe only, you know, one or two accomplices. So they wouldn't necessarily have actually even known any other robbers.
We've got another question about locations from Queen Katie 91 asking, could you please discuss the origins of Rotten Row in Hyde Park?
Rotten Row is a corruption of Route du Roi, French Route of the King. It was a street that was built in 1690 between Kensington Palace and St. James to facilitate the travel of royalty and aristocracy into and out of the West End through Hyde Park. It's the first street in London to be lit, and it was lit because of the threat of highway robbery. So there were lanterns all the way along the way. But you wouldn't want to venture too far outside this particular road because the rest of Hyde Park was still mired in darkness.
And if we move on to the cases of individuals more now, of course, when I think of highwaymen, I think of Dick Turpin. He's surrounded by legend. How much of this is actually true?
Very little. Turpin was a highway robber, it's true. He was also a pretty nasty piece of work. He was violent, he was a horse thief, a burglar, and a murderer. And his crimes attracted some attention at the time because of that, but not positive attention. He was executed in 1739, and it was almost a century later that the positive reputation of Turpin as daring and romantic, maybe glamorous, started to emerge. And it emerged with the publication in 1834 of William Harrison Ainsworth's Rookwood, which was a novel about his life. Rookwood invented a lot of the myths about Turpin, particularly the myth of the 200-mile horse ride on Bess from London to York. Others followed suit throughout the 19th century, and so Turpin's reputation gradually improved over the 19th century, but he had been dead for a very long time. There's a good book on the subject, actually, by the historian James Sharp, who unfortunately recently passed away, but it's called Dick Turpin, The Myth of the English Highwayman, and it's a very good book.
And are there any other highwaymen that come to mind if I asked you about the most famous ones from history?
Well, there are a couple famous ones, three famous ones from the 17th century. There's James Hind and Claude Duval and James Whitney. And then in the 18th century, you've got John Rann and my favorite highwayman, James McLean.
Why is James McLean your favorite highwayman?
Because he was such an effective self-promoter. He was the son of an Irish Presbyterian minister who got into trouble in Ireland and so left his native country, came to England, set himself up as a gentleman in St. James, lived that lifestyle, mingled with the elites, but then went out on the road to support this lifestyle. And he wasn't particularly successful at it. After maybe a year or less, he was caught and tried and eventually executed. But in the meantime, he successfully promoted this image of the gentleman highwayman. So he's like, I suppose he's my favorite highwayman because he epitomizes that ideal or that myth. And it was so effective that he rubbed the aristocratic man of letters, Horace Walpole, very famous in Hyde Park. And when he was eventually captured, Walpole refused to prosecute him because he had such a positive reputation. Walpole didn't want to acquire a bad reputation for being responsible for his conviction and execution.
We've talked a lot about the word highwayman in this interview, but a question from Instagram asks, were there any highwaywomen? And this is particularly relevant with the recent release of the film Renegade Nell.
The answer is there were some women who robbed on the highways, but none of them were noted as highwaymen or highwaywomen. In other words, they didn't achieve the kind of notoriety or celebrity that highwaymen did. And is, you know, there's a clear reason for that. The virtues of a highwayman were male virtues. They were courage and daring and aggressive behavior. And that's not what was expected of a woman at the time. Women were supposed to be caring and sensitive and so on. Women also weren't perceived to have the skills needed to be a highwayman, to be able to ride a horse effectively or to shoot a pistol. So women just didn't meet the requirements of the highwayman myth.
And in this society, which didn't believe that women could meet the reputation of the highwayman, were there any cases of highwaywomen that we know of disguising themselves as their male counterparts?
We don't know of any cases. It's possible, certainly. I mean, this was an age when women did occasionally dress as men and purportedly get away with it. So it's certainly possible, but I don't know of any identified cases. Where women are involved in highway robbery, it typically is with men. So, yeah, there are cases of that. There are none that are very famous, but there are certainly cases of women working with men, their lovers or husbands or other relatives, to commit robbery. It tends to be, it's kind of, you know, a classic sexist division of roles, though. So women would be the decoys, or women would be the receivers of the stolen goods. They weren't the ones who were threatening the violence and actually forcing the handover of the goods.
We've talked a lot throughout this interview of the glamour and romance of these robbers, but why were people so receptive of this myth?
Well, the first thing to say is not everyone was receptive, because many people did view the crime with concern. But a large number of people were receptive, as you say. And the reason is because the highwaymen played into the cultural values of the time, positive cultural values. You know, the value of courage and of manly behavior. They played into the ideals of politeness and civility, characteristics that gentlemen were perceived to have. So they were seen as embodying characteristics that were positive. So people would appreciate that. At another level, you could ask, why in particular would victims buy into this? And, you know, and that includes the fact that many of them refused to prosecute. And I think the reason there is made rather more complicated. But I think that if you are being robbed, it's better to play the role that this is going to be a polite, genteel highway robbery, and I'm going to play my part, which makes it much less likely to turn violent. So in a sense, it was a myth that made the experience of the crime less dangerous at the time and less traumatic afterwards. If you could tell your friends of your experience of being robbed in a way that suggests that it was not such a terrible experience, that's positive in terms of your own self-esteem.
And in light of this, how do you think we should view these figures today?
I think we're in a good position today, I think, to think about highwaymen, because we understand really well the difference between myth and reality, the difference between self-presentation and what's actually going on, and how powerful self-presentation can be. We understand that today. So I think we can read the accounts of the highway robbers with much more understanding, read them skeptically, admire perhaps the ability with which these personas were developed and their skills in presenting a positive story. But we also know, and maybe that's also because today we are much less tolerant of violence in any form, we know that there's an underlying truth to the nature of this crime, which can be pretty awful.
And of course, the highwayman is a figure from history. So how did this age actually come to an end?
Well, it came to an end for two reasons. The first is the most important one, I think, which is the decline of the myth. Highwaymen ceased to become interesting to people because values were changing. Then there was a much greater intolerance of violence, even the implicit violence of a highway robber. There were also changing attitudes towards crime more generally. People probably don't fully realize that 18th century attitudes and earlier attitudes towards crime were often quite mixed. People, yes, they could condemn criminals, but they also could understand better than we sometimes do today why crimes happen. But from the late 18th century, crime is much less tolerated. It's seen as something committed by a kind of almost separate class of people. It's not something that anyone might commit. It's committed by the lowest of the low, by what they came to call in the 19th century a criminal class. So attitudes towards crime generally, together with attitudes towards violence in particular, became much more, you know, negative, and that undermined the possibility of a positive reputation for highwaymen. So that happens in the late 18th, early 19th centuries. But then the crime itself kind of falls, the possibility of the crime itself falls away because of changing practical considerations. The roads get better. Policing gets more intense. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, new forms of banking and credit emerge, which mean that, you know, you can convey cash between two points much more safely, and you don't need to travel with large amounts of cash that could be stolen. So the last mounted highway robbery in England reportedly happened in 1831. Obviously, robbery continues to this day, but the methods have changed, and obviously the reputation has changed.
It's really intriguing that this can be used as a lens to view the changing world, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's right. And in a way, it's a good example of how, really, to understand any event in history, you have to understand the context. And if you take these people and put them in the context in which they existed or purported to exist, you can understand much better what they were about, and that both sheds light on them, but also on the wider society in which they lived.
Bob Shoemaker is an Emeritus Professor of British History at the University of Sheffield, specialising in social and cultural history between 1650 and 1900. To discover more about highwaymen, read more on our website, historyextra.com. Thanks for listening. This podcast was produced by Daniel Kramer-Arden.